I'm afraid they couldn't make a Secret Life of Chris Cox movie, and unless you were looking at YouPorn or something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
My film would not work its way towards a massive philosophical reimagining of one's existence. It would just involve lots of sticky people. But I'm shallow like that.
And Scarlett Johansson has to take other jobs at some point.
Man, I could just have sex with her voice and her. That's fine. That's enough.
Like you don't already.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's my secret life. You stay out of it. We are reviewing The Secret Life of Walter Mitty for Highly Suspect Reviews. The unusual suspects today are myself, Chris Cox.
J.C. DeLeon.
And Martin Thomas.
And this is the adaptation of the famous short story, emphasis on the word short, by James Thurber. I grew up reading the short story. My dad gave me a whole collection of Thurber's, who was a famous humorist at the time, of his stories. It was, you know, there was probably six or seven different collections they put together over the years that all prominently said, A Secret Life of Walter Mitty and Other Stories.
Right. Yeah, because there's no way you could fill a whole book.
Yeah.
Or a whole pamphlet.
Yeah, exactly. It's so short. With the basic idea of a guy who's lives a nowhere life, and he just imagines himself as a hero in all these different scenarios, but to the point where he is just zoning out and daydreaming and having trouble even functioning normally because of how much it gets in the way and everybody treats him like shit, yada, yada. Now, they made an adaptation of this in 1947, I believe, with
Danny Kaye.
Danny Kaye playing the lead role that was great. I've seen a bunch of times that largely follows the short story.
Even Thurber called it, well, it's more like The Secret Life of Danny Kaye.
Yeah, exactly. But ultimately, the whole movie was filled with these fantasies until finally he gets the strength from his own thoughts of being a hero to actually, if not become a hero, then at least stand up to the people treating him like shit.
Right.
And you cheer him on.
That's cool. I'm glad to hear that that's good, because I was kind of curious about the original.
Very different version from the story as this new 2013 version.
Did you know about the cartoon series?
There was a cartoon series.
There was a cartoon series called The Secret Life of Waldo Kitty. and you'd like this, because it would start with live action with a cat who would get bullied by a dog.
And not
impress the female cat, but he'd go in a tree and he'd have a daydream and he would become either Captain Kirk or Batman or Tarzan.
I have to watch this.
Has this officially been awarded the best cartoon of all time? Where do I find
it? Where are we watching it right now?
It was by Filmation who did the Star Trek cartoon. So they had all the same, I guess they had the license and the special effects.
The same stinger musical cues over constantly.
Yeah. And then it cut back to live action. He'd accidentally do some heroic thing, trap the dog and win the girl.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, I used to watch it every Saturday morning.
Well, now I'm going to go seek that out. Yeah. But this, I guess, the third adaptation of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, me not knowing that exists, was originally, I forget who was supposed to direct this. Do you remember?
I know it was going to star Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey.
It went through a lot of hands. Steven Spielberg had his hands on it for a little while.
Yeah, a lot of people had wanted to be involved with this, naturally, because it's looks like a fun story. Scarlett Johansson was involved as the front runner for a love interest here with, I believe, Owen Wilson? Yeah, with Owen Wilson in it.
That would have been weird.
Yeah, that would have been a weird combination. Mike Myers was attached to star in the title role. Sacha Baron Cohen accepted the lead role.
Of course he was.
Gore Verbinski was the last director, I believe, that they had attached to it. And then finally, eventually, Ben Stiller basically said, who had at that point been attached for a while as actor, guys, I'll direct it, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just stop this shit. I will act and direct. And everyone went, oh, fine.
Okay.
I'm just tired of this. Just go ahead and do it. The story here falls Ben Stiller as the titular Walter Mitty, who is a negative assets manager. I never knew what that was until I saw this movie. For Life Magazine, who basically means he takes all the negatives and processes them and makes sure they go where they're supposed to do from photographers. But through sort of looking through the pictures of this world-famous, almost J.D. Salinger-esque photojournalist, Sean O'Connell, played by Sean Penn, who's looking at his adventures, he kind of goes through his own fantasies of, like, crazy stuff he wishes he had done with his life, cool adventure hero-type things he wishes he could do from the, from the more ordinary to the utterly, you know, sci-fi action movie preposterous. Of course, at his work, there's a total dick who's the new boss, who's coming in essentially, as they know, to do layoffs, played by Adam Scott, who is like...
This is classic Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Before he got on Parks and Recs and start playing nice guys.
Yeah. This is him as the dick frat boy.
Yeah.
And he does it beautifully.
And, you know, he's scared because he feels his job is in danger as everybody else's is. In the meantime, Kristen Wiig is also kind of quiet other person who works there at the job, who he's clearly in love with, but has no courage whatsoever to approach. This is a standard Walter Mitty start off. Shirley MacLaine has a nice little role as Walter's, you know, not overbearing, but
protective mother.
Yeah. Busybody mother.
Yeah.
Nice way of saying it. So ultimately I'm like, okay, this feels right. It's got that sort of like, I wish I was Michel Gondry type of filmmaking style that I suspect no matter who had directed it, we would see something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's got
that. No. I totally see that. Yeah.
But I thought it was very odd that, like, God, what was it? Like maybe 25 minutes into this 114 minute running time, it ceases being the secret life of Walter Mitty and becomes a guy going across the world looking for inner peace without realizing that's what he's doing. You know, as he finds himself in a position where the one negative that was sent to him by Sean Penn's character, he says, this is the greatest photo I've ever taken. And this will have to be the cover of the last issue of Life magazine that they put in print. He can't find it. He's lost it. So he's like, I'll do anything to find this. And so he starts putting together little bits of information he has from the rest of the pictures that came on this roll as a giant puzzle to solve that involves him, you know, very unbelievably flying out to like Iceland and the top of a volcano and all sorts of places in the search for Sean Penn to go, where the fuck is the picture?
Yeah.
I mean, it quite literally abandons the fantasy thing completely at that point. Just drops it dead and cold in the water.
Hearing you guys talk about how short the short story is, that kind of makes sense to me now. It was a weird scene. The big tunnel shift at the time felt strange, but it kind of explains it.
Well, I mean, in the sense that the short story would only take 5 minutes to read as opposed to 25 minutes, not necessarily sure that, I mean, it's still, the whole movie is called The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels like The Secret Life of Walter Mitty and the sequel.
Yeah, I felt handcuffed by this. In as much as where Hancock was about, hey, here's a story about a superhero who's an asshole. And then 30 minutes in, it was like, oh, it's Will Smith. We can't keep him an asshole. Let's do this other thing. And with this, yeah, all about the nebbish guy who has the daydreams, and we get to see what he wish he could do. And it drops that so quick for him to go on this journey. I mean, like, man, I would want to get behind it, but his reasons for doing this are pretty thin to begin with.
I mean, so thin that when he does it, it takes 15 minutes before you accept that he's not just having another fan.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And I'm like, I don't know what job you can have, especially one where you know it's on the line, where you can just take off for 3 days and go to Iceland for such a slim reason and travel all these places. And it seemed to be like, okay, the movie has become like, hey, it's not about your fantasy life. It's about you living for the now and get out there and go experience life and have experiences and do things. But I was like, yeah, that's a positive message, but you're trying to tell me all this by montages.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just constant montage after montage. I'm like, yeah, you're saying something, but not really.
Yeah.
It's like bumper stickers.
All set to music to sell a soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hate to ultimately, I don't think it does what it does for the audience it's aiming for poorly per se, but if it really thought that it was going to get any awards for what it was doing, then it really was a little confused because ultimately it's so slight. I mean, there's nothing in here message wise that you haven't gotten from watching a better Apple commercial. You know, it manages to make you like him, but never really believe he's a real person and never really believe that the situation is a real situation. It's helped along the way by the fact that Kristen Wiig forms early on sort of a friendship relationship with them, and you're rooting for this to build. She's kind of there. He keeps messaging her back and forth, as well as Patton Oswalt, who has a cute little role as an eHarmony customer service representative, while completely as unconvincing as everything else in the movie. It's a funny little add-on bit that has a bit of a payoff at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It's a movie that within the first 10 minutes, I was really liking it and looking forward to where it was going to go. And then it just, like, in the next 20, it lost me and just could not win me back.
I was kind of the opposite. I think towards the beginning, it wasn't really grabbing me. And some of the daydream sequences just felt a little off-putting and just, like, so over the top, especially one referencing The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Oh, you know what, JC? Actually, you're right about that. Like, with the first daydream sequence, I was like, wow, it's pretty ambitious. I want to see where these go.
Yeah.
And the next one, I'm like, okay, that wasn't bad. But then there's a point where, like, it got to that one.
Yeah.
And the thing that was just so horrible. And it was one with a fountain where nobody laughed. Cause it was like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a joke? I don't even understand why that's, what was that?
It just about lost me at that point. But I mean, by the end, it kind of grabbed me, and everything being thin, I see that. I thought it was shot really well and it looked really cool. And Sean Penn's character, once he meets up with him, is really great.
Surprisingly acerbic after all that. You expect he's going to get up there, he's going to be the old man on the mountain, you know, it's like, ah, oh, grasshopper, I see, I've been expecting you. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? There are, like I said, I didn't walk out of this movie not liking it. I just ultimately felt like it was forgettable was the biggest problem. And like, even if they were to take this big change from the story, it's just awkwardly handled, that switchover, and you never really are comfortable again after it switches gears like that. But even if they were going to take it and really had sold it to me completely, where I was like, you're really saying some stuff I haven't, that's not like Hallmark card level of philosophy, then I don't know, man. It seemed appropriate Shirley MacLaine was in this, is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's got that sort of new agey sort of like, you know what your problem is?
Yeah.
You never went out and saw the world.
Right.
It's like, which believe me is not going to be anywhere near as cool as it was for this guy.
Well, they really compressed time. Like all the stuff he did, I'm like, that's a good 10 days of doing it would take to get to these places and do all that.
Yeah.
And he seems to do it in 2.5 days.
Yeah, it has that thing like, we need you in the office right now. She's like, dude, that's like 16 hours away from the office. And he's like back there before anyone notices he's gone and stuff like that. Like stuff like that you kept waiting for it to go. No, this was all a fantasy.
Yes.
You know, it's the only thing that would make the whole rest of the movie make sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I need a flight over to Europe right now. Oh, well, that'll be $2,600.
What? Well,
that'd be negative assets, but I work as a file clerk. I can't afford that.
He used the magazine's credit card.
At that point, fuck it.
And the big MacGuffin that he's looking for, when it gets revealed, I was like, that's pretty lame and could not exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to spoil it. I was like,
this whole thing
they set up, I'm like, that couldn't possibly happen because that would have to happen after this. And
it would deteriorate or something like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless Sean Penn had a time machine.
Yeah. There was a whole thing that you have to buy into that makes so much less sense as being possible once you actually meet Sean Penn's character in the film. You're like going, well, then if you feel that way, then why did you even do all that other stuff? I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's got a lot of good ideas. It's got a lot of pretty beautiful shots in it. Even I'll hand it to Ben Stiller. This is the first time that he's been playing a nebbish character that I didn't want to strangle him.
True.
You know,
there is
in
that.
Quite some time. You're like, he's not playing the whole, you're not constantly screaming at his character going, oh, you an idiot. What are you doing? It's not one of those. Thank God.
Yeah. So I'd certainly give it credit for that.
Considerably more tolerable than anything Ben Stiller's directed in a long time. Although even so, some of the characters are just like Adam Scott is played broadly as the asshole boss to a point. You're like, okay, come on. He's really doing this in front of everyone else who works there at a giant corporation like Life Magazine. I don't think so.
Right.
You know, I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, it just doesn't have, it felt like it's a product of too many writers who weren't communicating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, which may very well be the case, because even though it says it's only credited to one guy, Steve Conrad, this has been in sitting around in production for so long.
Oh,
I have a feeling there's a few more people that were involved. Steve Conrad wrote The Weatherman, Pursuit of Happiness, and The Promotion, which I did not see, so I can't comment on, but I have a feeling,
God, I'm pretty sure I saw The Promotion, but I can't remember it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You take a very short story as your base and try to build on that. And then it just comes up with like, okay, guys, come on. Come up with some ideas. Let's throw something together. And it just gave me that feeling. And once again, I could have been more forgiving had it been shorter. But when it gets past the 90-minute mark,
you're like, okay, guys, you spent most of this time just looking at beautiful vistas and shit. And we did not come to see this with the trailer to see Ben Stiller riding a bike through the mountains for 15
Can I say
minutes.
Something about the bike? This has irritated me to no end. He gets there and they tell him, hey, there's one bike and everybody wants to use the ride to the titty bar. And he snatches it. He takes off riding on it. And then later, when he's not paying attention and he crashes, he gets up and takes that bike and slings it. And I just sat there going, dude, weird. That's not your bike. Matter of fact, a lot of people wanted to use that bike. How dare you?
And you know, just the fact that like he's the new guy there. He's the new guy showing up.
Yeah.
And all these guys who've been working their asses off, right?
Yeah.
Show up excited to get to the titty bar. But no, his quest is somehow more important. I see. Clearly, he's never been to a titty bar. Yeah.
That's his problem
Which is his problem right there, I suspect.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Jason?
Oh, no, I was going to say just about the bike thing. Yeah, it's weird because he chucks the bike and then starts running down the mountain.
Right.
The bike still looked like it could have worked.
It did. Yeah, the bike was fine.
Like, it's like the chain got you there faster. Off. What the fuck? I can fix that. I'm the least mechanical person in the world. I'm like, yeah, you just put it back on. There you go. See, chain. Bike fixed. Nope. Throw it away. Fuck those guys and their titty bar.
I know.
You think they would have pulled their money and gotten a bus or something, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, like I said, there's good stuff here, but it's the connecting bits that don't work all throughout it. It's the joints that are loose and need a solder. I wanted to like it more because there are good qualities. By the end of it, I just sat there going, you know, my mom would probably like this.
Sure.
And people I know who don't see a lot of movies who just are like, I just want to watch something and not have to think.
Sure.
That type of person who goes in, which there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what I don't really want to have to think. I just want to let it wash over me. Okay, you're actually probably going to enjoy this, but your more discerning viewer who I suspect, you know, who is expecting something more on the Charlie Kaufman-esque level from the way this movie was sold, are going to probably feel more or less how we did, I suspect. And in my final summation, as I've already started giving, apparently, the biggest disappointment of this is just that it is a disappointment. I wanted this to be so good. I'm sure that hurt it a little bit as well, that I was excited about it, really, really wanted it to be great. But still, I'm going to have to give this 5 out of 10 New Age crystals.
Okay. JC?
My opinion of it might be skewed because everything I had heard was that this is one of the worst movies of the year. And
really?
It's anything but that. It's definitely not great, and it has a lot of issues that Chris alluded to. The beginning kind of was beginning to lose me, and it almost completely lost me at one point. It sort of just reeled me back in by the time it was over, which for me, I guess it was good as long as it's a good thing it was as long as it was. Yeah, I mean, I just kind of walked out thinking that wasn't nearly as bad as people thought, which doesn't make it a great movie. But, I mean, I probably would still say 6 out of 10 Miracle Red Eye flights to Europe.
Miracle being the keyword.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't go in with the expectations of either of you. I mean, sure, I'd hope for a Charlie Kaufman-esque movie.
We always hope for the best.
Yes, and, you know, it seemed like it had that potential, and the posters looked so great. And Ben Stiller's been around promoting the shit out of it. So I was hopeful. I wasn't expecting anything great. Wasn't even really in the whole, like, oh, it's going to be one of the best movies. But I found, like, early on, I had to readjust what expectations I had. And again, and again. And then I couldn't stretch anymore. It was just, like I said, it's just a lot of bumper sticker philosophy. Hallmark card. It's a lot of lip service without doing the actual work to bring the message that he's trying to say. It's pieced together out of so many random parts that they don't just not connect, but they don't even add up. You get to the end, that's like, dude, that's it, your figures are wrong. This can't even exist. And sure, it's great that Ben Stiller's not playing the bumbling, closed-mouth doofus that he normally does. And that's almost a shame of it, because the scenes with him and Kristen Wiig, it's like, you know what? If you had just, like, reeled in your scope, you could have had a good, heartfelt movie that would have worked. And I could be more forgiving had it been shorter. It's not. I actually left the theater kind of angry that it wasted my time. I give it 4 thrown bicycles out of 10.
Man, you just can't get past that bicycle. You just really love strip clubs. I think that's what it comes down to. You're like, I can't believe that shit. Fuck Ben Stiller and the Walter Mitty he rode in on.